Okay, how's that? Perfect. Okay, if you turn to Philippians chapter 2, now we're going back to our study in systematic theology, and some of you will remember that. Time just keeps flying on here. We did start the study back in the fall of 2022, and we looked at the introduction to systematic theology, and then we looked at the doctrine of Scripture in the fall of 2022. And then in the spring of 2023, we started to get into the doctrine of God, and that's where we still are. It's taken us a little longer here, but that's a good thing. There's lots of study when you're considering God. There's just so much. Our progression after this will be the doctrine of Christ, the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of man, the doctrine of the application of redemption, and then the doctrine of the church and the doctrine of the future. That's where we're going. But it'll take a little while to get there, but we'll have a fun journey along the way. Now, if you turn to Philippians 2, I'm just going to read just for our scripture to set context today. Right now, we're looking at, I'm just going to pick up where we left off back in May on the providence of God. And so I just want to do a quick review. We don't have much time, so that's really what it's probably going to be. Quick review and then catch us up to the point where we were, or at least close to that point. And then we'll be looking after that a little bit at Calvinism and Arminianism. It's a good topic. That comes right out of course, the discussion on the providence of God and God's sovereignty, and even some of the points that Tim was just talking about in the introduction to the Sunday school class. In this section of Scripture here, in Philippians chapter 2, 12 down to just read down to 18, you'll notice in 12 and 13, as I read this, this is why I'm setting the context right now, that God works in us, that there's this both our responsibility and God's sovereignty in everything. It's just interwoven throughout the Scriptures. You can't get away with it. Human responsibility and God's sovereignty. And you see that even here as Paul prays that God would work in us and ultimately is the one that works in us to shape our will to be like his will. Or we're going to be in trouble because our will take us down the wrong direction every time. And so that's why I'm just going to read a couple of these verses to set the context of looking at the providence of God. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Now, let's just back up a little bit and just talk about the providence of God, just to set the context to get us back into the study. When we consider the truth that God is all powerful creator, which we believe, which the Bible speaks, it only is reasonable to conclude that God also preserves and governs everything in the universe that he created. Although the term providence is not used in the scripture, it is a word that has been traditionally used to summarize God's ongoing relationship with his creation. And I would say that obviously providence is central to our Christian theology, and it underscores the truth that God is Lord over all of life, all of his creation, and nothing less than sovereign, and he is working out all of his purposes in history, that there's nothing that takes place in this world outside of his control. Louis Berkhof, a good Dutch theologian, defines providence as the continued exercise of the divine energy whereby the Creator preserves all his creatures, is operative in all that comes to pass in the world, and he directs everything to their appointed end. And there's three critical concepts there that Louis Berkhof talks about, and also Wayne Grudem picks this up, and all of the authors that are going to be writing systematic theology. God preserves, So there's preservation, there's concurrence, he's operative in everything that takes place in the world, and he directs it to an end. He's Lord, he's king over all. And these are the things that he's the one that governs everything. The government ultimately is upon his shoulders, as the scriptures tell us. And so, as I said back in May, when we think in these terms, we immediately reject four ideas, four teachings, if you will, four concepts, four ideologies. And I'm not going to go over these. You can go back and look at the tape or listen to the tape. But I'll just give you these again for context. It's always important to remember that we reject deism. We reject deism 100%. Now, deism posits that God created the world and then left it to run itself. And there's lots of people that fall into the deistic camp. And, some of the higher profile people that would fall into the deistic camp, Benjamin Franklin, Adam Smith, the great economist, Thomas Paine, all sorts of thinkers over time fall into this camp. Oh, yeah, God created it. He was the great creator, but then he just stepped back and just lets it run. That's not what the Bible says at all. Absolutely the antithesis of that. And so they take the supernatural out of the day-to-day then, now in terms of the world. And there's all sorts of implications which we can't get into. But so we reject deism. We reject pantheism. Pantheism believes that creation does not have a separate existence from God, and that all that is God, and God is all. And this is, of course, very pervasive in Eastern religions, pervasive in our world today also. You'd look at Hinduism, it would be a good example of a pantheistic worldview, but all the New Age teaching that, God is in us, and we are God. And if you want to get truth, you go inside yourself, and you'll find truth and so forth. And this is, of course, right from the pit of hell. Famous pantheists, Aldous Huxley, Carl Sagan, Albert Einstein, Friedrich Nietzsche, and there's all a list of these people that will, spew these ideas. And again, you're rejecting the creature-creator distinction. That's fundamental to Christianity. It's absolutely the heart of Christianity, that God is from all eternity, and he has created this world that is under his control, that he preserves, that he operates in, and that he is working it towards his appointed end. We also reject, in the third instance, a view that says that the world is under the control of just chance and randomness. We don't believe in a world of chance or randomness. In the New Testament, the Epicureans took this position, and today this is the dominant view, as you know, in many of our places of learning, our universities, that if you sort of have an atheistic Darwinian view, then you believe, ultimately, you have to believe that it's just random and all chance. But as our good friend and theologian, Dr. Sproul, says, and many people quote him, there's no such thing as a maverick molecule, right? And we hear that all the time. And the Bible makes this clear. We'll look at a few passages that everything in this world is under God's control. Absolutely. Everything's working according to his will to its appointed end. And so we, again, reject this idea that everything's just chance. Thankfully, what a horrible truth that would be. And the reality is no one can live consistent with that idea. They would destroy themselves overnight. Fourth, we reject the position that the world is run by fate or determinism. And that's also very important. Fatalism means that the destiny of human beings is controlled inexorably and ultimately by whimsical games and pranks of little semi-gods or junior grade deities called fates and so forth. Or just everything is just set in motion and we can't control it. We have no freedom of the will at all. And every decision we make is already predetermined exactly. And we're going to get into a little bit of this when we talk about free will, because, of course, some people will accuse Calvinism of that. And we push back, of course, right away, and we say, oh, absolutely not. That God is absolutely free, but he's also given us a derivative freedom. And we have freedom also. Not freedom to act in ways that fall outside of God's control, but we still have a derivative freedom. And we'll talk about that probably next time that we meet. But we don't believe in a fatalism at all. And so Dr. Grudem's definition of providence is similar to Birkhoff's. He says, God is continually involved with all created things in such a way that he keeps all things existing and maintains the properties with which he created them. cooperates with created things in every action, directing their distinctive properties to cause them to act as they do, and directs them to fulfill his purposes. And that's also a very good definition. So just quickly, when we talk about God's preservation, the Bible makes it clear that God preserves and that his preservation extends over all of his creation. And I'm just going to rattle through some verses quickly because you know these verses, and we talked about them a little bit earlier, so not, instead of going over them in detail. Hebrews 1:3, God upholds the universe by the word of his power. God upholds the universe by the word of his power. He sustains it. He's active. Christ is the one who actively controls and upholds the universe. Colossians 1:17, in him all things consist. All things are held together by Christ. If he were to let go for a moment, things would just spin out of control, right? We'd all be destroyed in a moment. The whole universe would collapse on itself. Acts 17:28, in him we move and have our being. Everything in all creation is held by God's mighty hand. Nehemiah 9:6, you preserve all of them, and the host of heaven worships you. 2 Peter 3:7, the Lord by his word upholds the heavens and earth until the day of judgment and their destruction. God is in control and preserves everything. The whole basis of our science is based upon this reality of God's providence. You could never do any science or technology if it wasn't for the uniformity of nature, that all things just follow, again, according to God's laws that he set and that he upholds. And he can sustain from time to time, he does, and we call that a miracle, when he sustains his own laws, when he supersedes his own laws. Science is completely dependent on this idea of uniform nature. I just heard Donald Trump says that within the next 4 years, he wants to get Elon Musk to get the rocket up to Mars. Well, you think Elon Musk can put a rocket on Mars if the world wasn't upheld by Christ himself, and they could figure out exactly to decimal points, you know, where to send that rocket and how to send it up into space? Absolutely not. The whole basis of the insurance industry, if you don't understand how insurance works, the pooling of risks, and normalization of what takes place in the world and so forth. It's all based upon the uniformity of nature. That's how you can develop risk pools. And if you had a good actuary here, they'd be able to walk you through some of that math, right? But so we just assume, everything we assume is ordered, structured, right? And God's in control. But we also go further than that. We believe in concurrence, that not only does God preserve it, God is involved in every aspect of life. And this becomes very critical later on when we look at our will and God working in us, as we just saw in Philippians, that we have a propensity, well, we have a complete propensity to sin and to do that which is wrong. And if we're going to do that which is right, we need God to work in our hearts and minds and to shape and mold us. He has to be actively involved in us and through us by his Holy Spirit, right? And so we believe in concurrence that God cooperates and directs everything in the world. Ephesians 1:11 says that God accomplishes all things according to the counsel of his will. And the word translated accomplish indicates that God works, or he brings about all things according to his will. No event in creation falls outside of God's providence. There's no way we could know this fact, again, if God hadn't given this to us in the scriptures. We thank God for his revelation. Isn't it great to know that God has given us this truth, and it is true? That every single thing in this world is ordered by God. We can put our head down on our pillow at night knowing that. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it does mean that the loving, infinite Creator God is back of everything. And that Joe Biden is not in control, right? If you've seen him walking around, you say, my goodness, it's good that we don't have to trust in Joe Biden or the Obama group that are running Joe Biden behind the scenes or whatever, or Pierre Trudeau, for goodness sakes. It's thankful that these men really are on God's rope, God's leash. And that's what the Bible makes very, very clear. Tim was talking about this morning when he's talking about Daniel 6. And what a difference this makes for us. And if you look at the Bible, just as we close off, the Bible and makes it clear that every part of creation is maintained and controlled by God. So we're not going to look at these verses all the time, but let me just give you the different categories. All inanimate objects are controlled by God. And so you see fire, hail, snow, mist, the wind, all of these things. We have passage after passages, God controls them. Animals, all the animals in the world are controlled by God and his actions. And the Bible gives us verse after verse after verse, which tells us this. Seemingly even random and chance events are under God's control. In Proverbs 16:33, the lot cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. And so if you go to Las Vegas, which is not a good recommendation, it's a bit of a hell hole, to say the least. But if you do go to Las Vegas and you see all those casinos, or down to Niagara Falls, they've really destroyed Niagara Falls. That's just a sort of a carnival down there now. But if you go down to Niagara Falls, and you go into the slot machines and all of that sort of stuff, there's actually no randomness in Las Vegas, right? None. Even when they're cooking the tables and making sure that they're setting the probabilities, which they do, of how much you're going to lose, even that's under God's control, right? Everything under God's control. God directs and works through the distinctive properties of everything that he's created. So that's why a farmer can plant a seed and know what's going to happen in terms of its growth. The affairs of nations, which we were just reminded of a few moments ago by Tim, all the affairs of nations are under God's control. You see that in Daniel 6. You see it throughout Daniel 4, Nebuchadnezzar, and so on. And that's emphasized throughout all of the scriptures. All aspects of our life, everything in our life, God supplies all our needs, are the formation of our bodies in our mother's womb. Everything under God's complete control. And so we see God is the creator, preserver, and then he works in his universe out his purposes for their end. Now, where we're going to pick up next time is, what about evil? What about evil? So we're going to look at the issue of evil, and what does the Bible say about God's providence and evil, and then we'll swing over to the whole issue of Arminianism and Calvinism, just for a little while anyway. Just, again, look at what the Bible says about that, because these are two very important aspects that come out of God's providence, especially the issue of evil. And I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of mystery around it, but we have to speak the way the Bible speaks, and the Bible speaks very clearly about where evil comes from, who's responsible for evil, but it never takes away the reality that God still is back of everything. But it's our human responsibility is never left off the hook because God's sovereign. And so we'll look at those things in the weeks to come and keep progressing through. So hopefully that gets you warmed up for the study to come. Let's just end in a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given us such amazing truths about yourself, about us, about our need for a Savior. You've given us all that we need in your scriptures. We thank you that your word is sufficient and that it is inerrant and it is infallible and that we can look into your word and find these glorious, glorious truths which then translate into our everyday lives. We pray that we would honor and glorify you in all things and trust you and exalt your name and glorify you. So we do pray that you be with us now. Be with the worship hour that is about to unfold. We pray that you would be with each of us. Help us.